Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and this week's topic is three types of gut dysbiosis, why your gut health matters. So we are going to dig into kind of breaking down the different ways gut dysbiosis presents itself. So And gut dysbiosis is really just imbalances in your gut microbiome. And we're going to dig into those three different types that create a lot of havoc for people, especially after bariatric surgery. But no matter who you are, you can have gut dysbiosis. So even if your family members who haven't had bariatric surgery are kind of exhibiting these types of symptoms, this might be something you would want to consider working on. So I think as we kind of dig into these, you're going to see how easy it is for bariatric patients, especially to experience gut dysbiosis very easily. So let's kind of dig into all the details so that you can have a good understanding and maybe know some ways that you can start looking at that maybe you need to make some shifts and changes with how you do your health and maybe just how you approach life, because you might have to make some changes temporarily to correct the gut dysbiosis, and then you can return back to your normal, I don't want to say normal, but adjusted way of eating that is more protective of having a healthy gut. And essentially, that's where you've got to get. You've got to get to the root of why this was created. And if this is something that maybe surgery has created for you, or maybe some chronic disease states that you are stuck with that just is part of your story, then, you know, what do you do to minimize the effects? So you might have to add some different strategies in with your diet, your lifestyle, maybe even some supplements, or maybe even some medications to help maintain this at a level that you don't have gut dysbiosis. So I think you'll understand more as we dig in. So as many are aware, and I would say as this research continues to evolve, although it is newer, it is definitely not new, and this is definitely getting a lot of attention. So having a healthy gut is important for overall well-being, and your gut has trillions of bacteria, fungi, and other microorganisms that kind of live harmoniously together without problem. So it's not that we shouldn't have all of these. You know, all healthy guts have bacteria, fungi, parasites, and different types of microorganisms that we should have in there. So it's not necessarily bad. It turns bad when they are getting outnumbered, certain categories of them, when they take over, that's when problems arise. So having this kind of healthy gut garden is a great way to think about it, but it's definitely something that you should have a balance of all of these different organisms living together in your gut. And not only does, you know, having a healthy gut help with digestion and immunity, these microorganisms also affect your mood. So having gut dysbiosis is really detrimental to your mental health and just your overall well-being. But dysbiosis is really just an imbalance in the gut microbiome and can impact your well-being overall. And the key to kind of achieving a healthy gut microbiota is intention, effort, and even sometimes guidance from a health professional. So sometimes you can DIY it and do it on your own, figure it out on your own. But in my experience, this is kind of complex, and there's multifactorial causes of why someone is experiencing things. And it's not always just black and white. There's some gray to this. And that's where a healthcare practitioner can really be helpful in helping you sort through and really focus in only on the important areas. And you'll get better faster when you hire someone like myself that is skilled and trained in this, so that you don't have to guess anymore. So, what is gut dysbiosis? So, trillions of bacteria, fungi, and other microbes all reside in your gut. But these microorganisms affect digestion, immunity, mood, and disease states in general. So it's going to have the ability to influence, even your metabolism. So how successful you are after bariatric surgery, or how successful you are in maintenance. So that plays a role in it, what's happening in your gut. But during gut dysbiosis, harmful bacteria kind of overtake the beneficial bacteria in the gut, causing an imbalance and kind of an overgrowth of this microorganism. And I have talked about gut dysbiosis before, after weight loss surgery, and you can find that on our website, YouTube, social media, under surprising causes of weight gain after weight loss surgery, and it's on gut dysbiosis. So it's a 5-part series that I discussed different causes or different surprising causes of weight gain. And one of them is gut dysbiosis. But to make this kind of a little bit easier to understand, I want to kind of paint a picture of an illustration that you can visualize and think more openly and clearly on what gut dysbiosis truly means. So if you think about your gut as a garden, this is where you actually can kind of envision a nice, healthy, plush garden where it's full of vegetables, fruits, flowers, and they're all just abundant. But as any gardener knows, if you don't maintain your garden by weeding it, weeds will overgrow. And you can think of dysbiosis as the weeds. So sometimes as those weeds can, literally, if you, and I have had a garden before, and I have been a poor caretaker of my garden before, and the weeds just kind of took over, and then I just got uninterested in managing it, and it was just too much. And so the weeds just kind of took over, and I checked out. So that same type of concept can happen in your gut. So you can have a perfect gut microbiome, and it's very lush and abundant, lots of diversity, lots of different species, and everybody's happy. You're not having problems. Your health is great. But all it takes is one little weed to take root and take off, and it can kind of take over that whole garden. And that's when you notice the symptoms arise. So think of that as, the weeds are the dysbiosis. And sometimes there's a variety of different weeds that kind of pop up. And that can happen in your gut too. And as they take over, as those weeds take over, then it outnumbers the vegetables, the fruits, the flowers. They kind of overtake them, and now they're dominating that whole garden. And that's kind of your intestines. It can be that, you know, the dysbiosis takes over, that imbalance takes over, and now it's those weeds are really just ruling your gut and kind of causing havoc on your health and how you feel. So these weeds or dysbiosis may or may not have been caused by you. And they typically are often caused from like C-section births, antibiotics, usually, you know, an abuse of antibiotics or utilizing them frequently year after year. You kind of wear that down without rebuilding it. Then there's problems with chronic antibiotic use. And then also physical and psychological stress that can really derail a healthy gut. Of course, your diet can do that as well. When you don't consume enough fiber-filled carbohydrates, which are the things that fuel a healthy gut. And then things like radiation. So if you've had cancer and you've had to have radiation, but then even just like tests that have radiation involved, the more you have of that, that kills off that bacteria. So good and bad. And remember, we have to have all of it. We have to have good and bad. So it's not bad to have the bad. It's just bad to have too much of the bad. So, and then also anytime that your motility gets impacted. So you think of surgeries and scar tissues, you think of endometriosis, things that can slow down the motility, even medications. So you think of those narcotics that slow down your gut from moving, and that can cause it as well. So you can easily see how someone could have gut dysbiosis living in the world we live today. And the strategies that you've been given to deal with health conditions. And again, you may not have any control of what you were given with your health. I mean, no one picks cancer. No one picks, you know, accidents where you have back problems and you need strong pain medications to even function. So no one chooses that. But when you are stuck with it, it is sorting through what are my best options. And sometimes it is the medications and sometimes it is the surgery. And there's nothing wrong with that. Those are your best options. But what can you do to protect your gut so that now you don't have issues down the road because of this necessity that came to fruition? So again, I think you have to look at the big picture of, okay, how many of these things that is contributing and kind of consistently damaging that healthy gut microbiome, that your lush garden is now becoming a garden of weeds and you feel like crap all the time. And that's when we have to back it out and really do the work and really digging through what is driving this, what has caused this overgrowth of weeds to occur. So the three types that really I kind of sort them into is an insufficiency dysbiosis, an inflammatory dysbiosis, and then digestive dysfunction. So let's dig into each of these. So the insufficiency dysbiosis. And insufficiency dysbiosis is characterized by a low level of beneficial bacteria. So think of this as the beneficial bacteria play kind of a crucial role in supporting just your overall healthy immune system and intestinal function. So those gut bacteria, those beneficial gut bacteria do play a role in your gut motility. They do play a role in how often you're getting sick and how you respond to the things that you're exposed to. So you want to have a nice, hearty amount of beneficial gut bacteria. Not too much, not too little, but enough. You got to have an abundance there that are protective. And different factors can cause this type of dysbiosis, such as the stress, the medications, the diet, and the chronic antibiotic use. So again, think of anything that could destroy that beneficial gut bacteria. So if you're a person that maybe you get ear infections a lot, or strep throat, or sinus infections, and you might have antibiotics 2 or 3 times a year, and I think you have to peel back those layers and say, okay, why am I getting these infections? Why am I getting sinus infections every year? What could I do differently? What strategies and approaches should I change so that I stop needing these antibiotics? And that's truly where you have to kind of start. You have to back it out and say, where did this all begin? How did I lose all of my lush vegetables and, you know, flowers and all of those beautiful things in my garden that were keeping me healthy? What things are causing this? You know, have I had a stressful year, or am I having to take medications now that I hadn't been taking? So again, evaluating that so that you can assess, hey, can I do any of this differently? And have those conversations with your physician. Are there alternatives? Are there better options? And if there's not, which sometimes is truly the case, there's not a better option, then what can I do to mitigate the risks and the damage that occurs from needing this? So what can I do outside of what I'm currently doing that would really help support me better? But having insufficient levels of beneficial bacteria can increase the risk of intestinal infections, can also increase intestinal permeability, which think of that as leaky gut. That's kind of the more layman's term. But in research, we use increased intestinal permeability means leaky gut. And then also it has decreased protective factors like the secretory IgA and increases inflammation. And insufficient dysbiosis has also been proven to contribute to obesity and metabolic disturbances by altering the gut microbiome. So it's all connected. So if your gut is out of balance and you have an insufficient amount of beneficial gut bacteria, we have seen this in the Firmicutes and Bacteroidetes ratio. We know that those individuals who have a higher amount of Firmicutes have more obesity and issues with being overweight. Those with more Bacteroidetes or normal amounts of Bacteroidetes have more healthy weight. So again, you have to put it all together. Am I having issues with maintaining my weight? And was I successful? And then all of a sudden something changed. All of a sudden my weight just started packing on and I really wasn't doing anything different. But yet if you reflect back, you might think, okay, I was sick. I had to take 2 or 3 rounds of antibiotics back to back, and bam, maybe that was the beginning of it. So you just have to really work on rebuilding that beneficial gut bacteria. So additionally, individuals with insufficiency dysbiosis are more likely to develop type 2 diabetes, further indicating the need for a balanced gut microbiome to maintain your metabolic health. So it just really goes to show, you know, one little health thing can be a snowball effect of down the road. Now you're struggling with pre-diabetes leading to type 2 diabetes, weight gain, weight loss resistance. It's just going worse because we're not focusing on fixing the right thing. We're not fixing that insufficient dysbiosis. Okay. The next one is the inflammatory dysbiosis. An inflammatory dysbiosis is characterized by a moderate or high level of pathogens, microbes, and opportunistic microbes that create inflammation and increase intestinal permeability. So this is kind of, this is creating just kind of that inflammatory process that then damages that lining, that gut barrier lining, that increases that leaky gut. It has been observed that many of the pro-inflammatory microbes are gram-negative bacteria in the proteobacteria phylum that produce lipopolysaccharides, or LPS. And that can be extremely potent in stimulating the immune system to produce inflammation. So whenever you have those lipopolysaccharides being produced, then that means your immune system is on high alert and it's going to cause that downward spiral to inflammation. And dysbiosis of this type is associated with chronic inflammation throughout the whole body, which can result in like inflammatory bowel disease and just chronic inflammatory responses. So more joint pain, more skin flares, any type of inflammation that your body's kind of struggling with. And it has been demonstrated that individuals with IBD appear to have alterations in their gut microbiome, supporting the notion that dysbiosis contributes to the pathogenesis of these inflammatory conditions. Additionally, emerging research suggests that inflammatory dysbiosis may contribute to neurological disorders like autism, autism spectrum disorder, illustrating the intricate link between gut health and your brain function. So again, these inflammatory, if your gut is inflamed, your brain becomes inflamed. So, and it could also be described in Alzheimer's, dementia. I mean, these things are being called type 3 diabetes, and kind of they find that the people who have dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, all of those types of things, their brain is really inflamed. And this is part of it. And calming the inflammation down in their brain changes their world. So again, there are things that you can do, just really approaching this from, okay, let's work on fixing the gut. And then let's evaluate what's happening to your thought processes, your mood. Is your memory better? Are you having less brain fog? All of those things can be signs that your brain has some inflammation. The next one is digestive dysfunction dysbiosis. So a common cause of dysbiosis associated with digestive dysfunction is hypochlorhydria, or low stomach acid. And I've spent a lot of time on low stomach acid, I feel like. And this is definitely something that's important. Your body needs a certain pH in the stomach. And when that pH is too high, that's when problems arise, because bacteria is not being killed off. So that is where it starts. And then also, so not only do the digestive dysfunction is dealing with low stomach acid, but also insufficient bile acids, inadequate digestive properties like pancreatic enzymes, but then also brush border enzyme deficiency. So in our intestines, we have enzymes that are produced by the gut bacteria, and they help break down the food and into vitamins and minerals and micronutrients and amino acids and all the, you know, fatty acids and you know, carbohydrates are broken down. All that gets done at that brush border, which is your think of that intestinal barrier. That's when it, where all that stuff is occurring, but you can have a deficiency there. So where your the brush border enzymes are not being produced, so now we're not absorbing the nutrients enough, and we're getting deficiencies in vitamins, minerals, and even the macronutrients like proteins and fats and carbohydrates. We're missing that ability to fully absorb the nutrition that you're eating. It's making it there. It just isn't able to process it appropriately. So reduced absorption and altered GI motility. All of those things are a dysfunction of the digestive system. So microbiome imbalances can result from altered digestion, motility, leading to an overgrowth of certain species, such as like H. pylori. So that is something that occurs in your stomach, which further lowers your stomach acid and can create, if left unchecked and treated, if it's never treated, it can turn into cancer over time. And I have seen that in bariatric patients where they go in for surgery and they didn't get to do surgery because they found stomach cancer. So again, not common, I would say. Not, that did not happen a high percentage of the time, but it did happen. It was something that was found. And we had tons of people who were positive for H. pylori prior to surgery that had to go through a protocol before they had the surgery so that they could kill off the bacteria. But bloating, gas, constipation, and diarrhea are some of the symptoms of this type of digestive dysfunction dysbiosis. And this is why it's important to really hone in on all the organs that are involved in digestion. That's, I would say, one of the things that I really prioritize, paying attention to the symptoms that someone's experiencing and trying to help support them throughout that process so that they have the ability to digest and absorb the nutrients that they need so that we can get further faster. So sometimes I might utilize a supplement temporarily to bridge us through the healing. And then we can remove those supplements and we don't need those long term. And then in some cases, some people find that I kind of feel better if I stay on this one supplement, but I can get rid of these others. So it's way more than just taking a digestive enzyme or just taking a probiotic and it fixes it all. It truly doesn't work that way. It may not, you may feel worse. So if we don't truly evaluate, I would say that is one reason why I do like using stool tests, GI MAP. There's even a GI FX. There's definitely different stool tests for different issues that people experience, and you can get different data from them. But sometimes those are necessary because we can't even sort out what's happening until we do a stool test. And we don't know, maybe H. pylori is driving it. We just need to treat that because you can get a really, really good data on H. pylori through a stool test compared to a breath test. I'm not opposed to either one of them, but you're going to pick up more of the H. pylori. It's going to be detected more in the stool test than it will be on the breath test. So I think it's important to work with a practitioner who is skilled in this when it comes to sorting through all your digestive symptoms. So if it's just happening occasionally, I probably wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't get too hung up on the symptoms. But if this is becoming a pattern and you're noticing that, hey, I'm having this frequently, that's when you might want to start working with someone quickly before it gets too far out of hand. So ignoring the symptoms leads to further dysfunction. So it's not forget it and it goes away. It's you forget it and it gets worse. So if you don't address it, then we do have to spend more time and effort correcting that problem. And it's going to take us longer. It's just going to take us longer to accomplish that. So what are the symptoms of dysbiosis? They all overlap. So it's not like I can just say, okay, do you have these symptoms? Okay, then you have digestive dysfunction. No. You're lacking beneficial. They overlap. So all three of these have these similar signs and symptoms. Indigestion, stomach upset after eating, heartburn, reflux, GERD, bloating, slow digestion, gas, lower belly pains, increased depression and anxiety, constipation or diarrhea, hormone imbalances, autoimmune disease, joint pain, weight gain, or weight loss resistance. All of these dysbiosis symptoms may manifest as digestion distress. They can also be mild and only occur occasionally, not always causing noticeable symptoms. So if, say, you're not really noticing any digestive problems, but you really are struggling with your hormone balance, we might want to work on evaluating your gut to really dial in, why are your hormones so out of whack? Why are you having an autoimmune disease now? Those types of things. Because the gut really is kind of at the root of a lot of problems for people. So why do you even need a balanced gut microbiome? A healthy gut depends on having balance. And it is possible to develop gut dysbiosis when this delicate ecosystem of microorganisms become imbalanced. And having a balanced gut microbiome is critical in many aspects of how your body functions, like digestion, nutrient absorption, immune function, mental health. Making informed choices to nurture and kind of support your gut health requires understanding the significance of a balanced gut dysbiosis. So you want to make sure that you're not ignoring this and you are prioritizing correcting it. So what's the link with gut dysbiosis with other disorders? One of them is digestion and nutrient absorption. So it influences how well your body digests, breaks down, and absorbs all the nutrients from the foods that you consume. So you may eat a perfect diet, but yet you struggle to maintain normal vitamin and mineral levels or even protein levels. And it could be because of this piece. Your body, you have some digestive dysfunction. Something is missing. We are missing something, and it could be we're missing those brush border enzymes. Maybe we're missing enough stomach acid or pancreatic enzymes, bile. It could be any or all of those. You could have all of that. Or it could be one of them. You don't know until you kind of test it out. But dysbiosis can impair digestion, resulting in symptoms like bloating, gas, irregular bowel movements. Promoting a balanced gut dysbiosis enhances your body's ability to extract the nutrients and support normal body functions. One study found that the gut microbiome influences metabolic health. In addition, gut dysbiosis has been linked to metabolic conditions like type 2 diabetes and obesity. So again, this is a beginning of it. So if you've had bariatric surgery and you find yourself struggling with these things after you've had surgery and you've never addressed your gut, you've never even evaluated how healthy it is. Do I have a good amount of beneficial gut bacteria? Do I have an imbalance in my digestion? I mean, we can evaluate that with stool tests easily. The next one is immune function. And in order to maintain a robust immune response, a balanced gut microbiome is kind of crucial for this. And your gut bacteria help regulate and train your immune system, ensuring a balanced response to both harmless and harmful substances. So if your immune system gets confused because you're having an autoimmune reaction where it starts attacking a part of your body, that becomes a problem when it could have been prevented had your immune system been dialed back when it is in appropriate balance. So again, it takes kind of an approach that is not necessarily hard, but maybe not what you're used to. And we'll kind of get to that in a little bit. But in contrast, dysbiosis can lead to immune dysregulation, making you more susceptible to infections, allergies, and autoimmune diseases. So maintaining a healthy gut is important to making sure your immune system is in the right balance so that it reacts appropriately to harmless and harmful things. One study found that the gut microbiome affects immunity. According to the study, gut dysbiosis may also contribute to allergies, asthma, and autoimmune disease. Next is mental health and mood. Your mental health relies on that gut-brain axis, which communicates bidirectionally with the gut and the brain. And there is evidence that a healthy gut microbiome may influence the production of neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, and GABA, which regulate your mood, your emotions, and even your stress response. It allows you to be more resilient and handle things a little bit better. Depressive disorders, anxiety disorders, and even cognitive decline are all linked to imbalances in gut bacteria. And a healthy gut-brain axis is promoted by a balanced gut. Several studies found that the gut microbiome plays an important role in neurological health. These studies linked gut dysbiosis to disorders such as Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and neurological illnesses. Another study found that depression affects the gut microbiome differently than it does for people without depression. Additionally, gut dysbiosis may contribute. And lastly, another study found that Alzheimer's patients have a different gut microbiome that showed gut dysbiosis may contribute to Alzheimer's disease development. So again, it just goes to show you that keeping a healthy gut is so crucial to longevity and living the life you desire to live. I mean, who wants to be 60 and 70 years old and retire and you can't do any of those things? You don't have your brain. You don't have your health. No one is signing up for that. No one wants that future. I don't want that future. So again, changing and improving your gut health can help set you up for having a future that you truly are desiring. The next is inflammation and chronic disease. Many chronic diseases are rooted in chronic inflammation, including cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and autoimmune disorders. And a balanced gut microbiome prevents excessive immune activation and systemic inflammation by maintaining low-grade inflammation. And deficiencies in this delicate balance can promote inflammation, which contributes to chronic disease progression and development. And reducing the risk of chronic inflammation and its complications is possible by striving for a balanced gut. And one study showed that people with inflammatory bowel disease have different gut microbiomes than those without the disease. And so we know that gut dysbiosis does contribute to the development of inflammatory bowel disease. The next is weight management. Obesity and metabolic disorders have been associated with dysbiosis in the gut microbiome, and we realize that. We have known this for a time. And in addition to it regulating your energy or your calorie metabolism and your appetite, beneficial bacteria also aid in fat storage. So it's truly influencing how your body responds to the nutrients that you feed it. And certain gut bacteria are going to make you more prone to storing fat. And because of that metabolic dysregulation. And it can also influence your cravings and your appetite and just your ability to maintain a normal weight without feeling like you're a crazy person because now you're hungry all the time. So it truly can be rooted in your gut of why you are struggling so much with cravings, appetite, hunger, weight loss resistance. All of that is connected. Studies found that a healthy weight person has a very different gut microbiome than an obese person. And the gut dysbiosis really is involved in the development of obesity. Another study found that gut dysbiosis may contribute to the development of type 2 diabetes and metabolic disorders. So again, just more proof that it's important. When you're noticing these changes in your labs, it should be a red flag in your brain that goes off and says, it's time to do something. It's not, let's wait until I have diabetes again, until it's all fully back. No, if you have pre-diabetes, let's do something about it. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and gut dysbiosis. A study concluded that gut dysbiosis can be used to prevent and treat non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And they suggest promoting gut health, a healthy diet, and exercising can prevent and treat non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. A few of the study's findings were the patients who had the non-alcoholic fatty liver disease have different gut bacteria composition than the people without the disease. And according to the study, these patients have higher levels of pro-inflammatory molecules in their gut. And the patients in the non-alcoholic fatty liver disease patients, anti-inflammatory molecules are in the gut are lower. And in the study, impaired liver function was found among those with this disease. And according to the study's findings, the development and progression are significantly influenced by gut dysbiosis. So, you know, fatty liver disease is chronically connected with obesity and even non-obesity. You can have it without being overweight or obese. So not necessarily going to be the same for every person, but definitely something that you see more of in the overweight and obese population. Sleep disorders and gut dysbiosis. Number of adults affected by sleep disorders is up to 35% worldwide. One study found that gut dysbiosis is strongly associated with sleep disorders. Additionally, gut dysbiosis made sleep disorders more difficult to treat and worsened their severity. So of their insomnia and their problems with sleep. Some of the details of the studies were it found that the people with sleep disorders have different gut bacterial compositions, and there is a higher level of pro-inflammatory molecules in the gut of the people with sleep disorders. There are also lower levels of anti-inflammatory molecules in the gut, and they just found that the people who have a gut dysbiosis had more issues with sleep. So we can see that it does play a role of one, inhibiting good quality sleep, but then also when you have poor sleep, it also flips and inhibits your ability to maintain a healthy gut. So they work both ways. Gut dysbiosis and cardiometabolic health, they found that the gut microbiome plays a crucial role in developing heart disease. So heart disease, strokes, and any cardiovascular disease. The next is your gut microbiome and cancer. There are several studies that the gut microbiome plays a significant role in cancer development and can contribute to colorectal cancer, breast cancer, and many other cancers as well. So what are some tips for maintaining a healthy gut? Consume a diet that includes fiber-filled carbohydrates, like I'm always talking. And this is where, if you want to download our low-carb, high-fiber meal plan, get right on our website of gastrichealth.com, and you can find that in our freebies. It is a free 3-day meal plan that gives you a... It walks you through how to do a low-carb, high-fiber day and how that looks, what foods am I choosing from. But it comes from fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. So that's the only way you're going to get fiber is from carbohydrates. You don't get it from protein. You don't get it from fat. So you have to consume carbohydrates, which is so controversial in the bariatric community and non-community. I mean, even in just normal weight people, or even, you know, people who haven't had bariatric surgery, this is still the same for them too. So I am for a low carb diet. You want a low glycemic. You don't want your blood sugar being spiked several times a day. And fiber is a great way to help this happen. So you can also consume fewer processed foods, fewer sugary drinks, and really just watching those processed meats and not consuming those regularly. Get regular exercise, get enough sleep, manage your stress levels, and then also taking a good quality probiotic that has some prebiotics, but then also getting prebiotic foods on a daily basis. And this is where it's super important to work with a practitioner to help you sort through all of this. Like I said earlier, you know, it's not just taking a probiotic and a prebiotic or a digestive enzyme or all of the above. It can be a whole lot more than that for people. There is a process to get you through that will help rebuild, rebalance, repopulate that whole gut microbiome so that you don't have those symptoms anymore. And if you have to maintain on medications, then we work through that. That is what we work on. Okay, so if you're going to have to stay on this medication that really does get rid of, alters your, stomach acid or the release of your pancreatic enzymes, or maybe you've had your gallbladder removed, so now we need to support, bile a little bit better. So again, that's where you need someone who is trained in this to truly help walk you through and get you in a better place. There's no magic. You can do all these things, but if you don't fix the root causes or the things that's driving it, you'll go right back. So if you are having high amounts of stress, we can do all this work and you can undo it with poor stress management. So again, I think it's evaluate, start peeling back the layers and working in the areas that you can so that you can truly get full resolution, long-term resolution, and not need a ton of medications or supplements or a restrictive diet or any type of imbalanced life. You truly have worked through all of your issues, and that's when you will find that you need very little support from a restrictive diet or a supplement or a medication. You won't need those if you work through you resolve the gut dysbiosis. And that makes a huge difference in how your health is managed. So I want to wrap this up. If you're struggling with any of these symptoms chronically, not occasionally, if you have those happen, once a month, definitely don't need to dig in deep with a stool test. But if you are one that day in and day out, you are struggling with these digestive symptoms or these health conditions that have now shown up, and you can look back, you can timeline it, you can start kind of timelining, when did all these symptoms start and what occurred? Was there a big stressful event? Was there a health scare? Was there maybe some emergency or a medication that you had to take that, bam, now you're dealing with this? I would strongly encourage you to reach out. I'd love to help you work through any of this. Our gastric health membership truly is the best way to get started with the whole process. And then with that, we can determine, hey, do you need to have a GI map test? Do you need a GIFX test? Do we need to do a stool test? Or can we just maybe trial some of these supplements and bridge you through and be done? So sometimes I can easily do that. Sometimes I cannot. Sometimes I truly need a stool test to make informed decisions because you're complex and there's a lot going on. So I hope you guys have enjoyed this topic. I love talking about gut health and how important it is, but I think really understanding that there are different types of gut imbalances, and it's not just as simple as, you know, taking a probiotic or a digestive enzyme, that I might need to dig in a little deeper and sort through really what's got me to this point and start correcting and altering those areas in my life that are contributing to me being stuck in this place chronically. So you guys have a great week, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.